time a couple of years ago, Kim, who's the owner of Loganics, one of the ISPs here in town. Thank you for calling. Please hold on.
Hold on.
Because I'm in the middle of a story. Hold on just a second, because I'm in the middle of a story. Now I forgot what I was going to say. It's top of the hour.
Loganics and Kim.
Yeah, top of the hour. Run the IDs, and then I'll tell my story, and then we'll get to Brian.
Okay.
I know that was Brian. I know his voice.
I will top of the hour as we speak.
You'll top off. Yeah, that's it.
You're listening to the Wookiee Satellite Radio Network.
Entertaining music, engaging conversation. The Wookiee Satellite Radio Network.
106.3 FM.
WGND.
LP McComb. The Voice.
Moo.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Okay.
Nice voice there, Chris. That's the singing part. Yeah, it's a. Welcome to the third hour of Tech This. I think this is the third hour.
Guess who Tommy found?
Oh, did he? Well, of course, by saying those words, nobody even knows that there's something to be found yet. So
that's true. The kitty we got a couple of days ago just reappeared in the dining room.
Well, he'd been missing for, what, about 24 hours now?
A little more than that, I think.
Oh, he's purring.
Because I think it was yesterday morning.
Well, now I can take a picture of him now, finally. He's been missing for like a day and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here.
Hey, that's the show for tonight. Brian, I promise to get to you. I need to finish this. Anyway, you were talking about how quick it is to, you know, to jump on a plane and all that. Well, Kim, a couple of years ago, had a router die, and he needed a specific one, and it was going to take a couple of days to ship it. He goes, fine, I'm a pilot. So he went out to the airport, got in a plane, flew to, like, South Bend, Indiana, or Fort Wayne, or wherever it was, bought the router and flew back, you know, it was a couple, you know, it was like an hour each way or whatever it was. So that was pretty cool how he got a router installed the same day because he flew somewhere to buy one. And Renee goes, what, kitty? That'll be in the fourth hour. Brian, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are.
I don't hear myself. Maybe it's because I turned off my radio.
That's always a good idea.
Which is a good thing, yes, but you're there.
But I don't want to hear myself. I want to just talk and not have any echo. I know a friend of mine has one of those VoIP services where you install a box in your house, and whenever I call him now and talk to him on his cordless phone or whatever, I can hear myself, everything I say, about a second and a half later. And it's very difficult to hold the conversation that way. And I don't know if you guys have VoIP or not. Are we still there?
Well, we do, but you called on 3400. That's a standard landline, so.
So, and it's working good. I can hear you and everything.
Great.
But let's see, AVG, I've been installing that on a couple of my computers. Nothing like a fresh install of Windows, though. I've just got computer back up and running, and I'm putting Windows on it. And you'll never guess what was wrong with the computer.
It had Windows on it.
Well, it did have Windows on it, but that wasn't what was causing it to be faulty.
Okay, what was it?
It was the capacitors on the motherboard.
Did you have a shuttle?
It wasn't a shuttle.
Oh, okay.
This was an MSI motherboard. And
Microsoft installer?
Pentium 3. And I pulled it out finally after I was having a hard time with it, getting it to be stable. Got to looking at it, and sure enough, it has that old problem, you know, where when the caps go bad, they start to bulge a little bit ever so slightly on the tops of them. And there's a bunch of these 1,000 microfarad at 6.3 volt and 1,500 microfarad at 10 volt. And I took some of those out and measured them, the 1,000s, and a couple of those read like 100, and one read 300, and so forth. And so I ordered some and got them in, put those on there, and voila, it's back good again, running just like it should. And I got to looking at another board that I had, a little video card. It was an NVIDIA TI 4200, I think. And although the board is still working, it has some of those very same 1,000 microfarad, 6.3 volt, 8 millimeter in diameter. And I pulled a couple off of it, even though the board was still running, and one measured like 40 microfarads. So you guys need to inspect your motherboards every once in a while to see if those aren't going out on it, and they fail on a regular basis.
Well, there have been quite a few stories in our you know, the Wookiee RFD group of people having caps on motherboards, and in fact, you know, that was part of our power supply failure. We had to get a whole new power supply, but we certainly saw a capacitor that was, you know, as I think Daryl said, it looked pregnant or something, you know.
Yeah, well, it's because the liquid electrolyte in there kind of turns gaseous, and it starts venting out, and it builds up pressure in it, and sometimes even explodes. Now, here's something I found on the internet that this guy says. See if this isn't right. He says, the reason this problem exists because of a large-scale industrial espionage foul-up. Some companies decided to steal an electrolyte formula from another competitor. Little be known to them, the stolen formula was incomplete and flawed. They didn't discover this until it was too late, and they had manufactured and distributed literally millions of these flawed capacitors. It was way too late for any kind of a recall, and even today, these flawed components are being used in new Pentium 4 motherboards. And he says he'll be posting several links to articles and actual sources on this site, of actual articles that go into detail.
Is that Blur in the chat room says, is that badcaps.net?
Yeah, that was. But I don't know if that's right. It's just something he put on there.
Certainly something to think about. I mean, if you don't want to go quite that level of conspiracy, it probably would be just as simple as the bottom dollar. They're using cheap parts and not, you know, doing good quality control, I guess, you know.
Now, I was going to buy one of his capacitors, but found that I could buy them much cheaper from one of the many mail order places in larger quantities, so I just did that. Much cheaper, like more than less than a third.
Well, that would certainly motivate me to get it somewhere else.
Yeah, and I went to a surplus store nearby here where they had a bunch of surplus caps, and they didn't even have the exact ones I wanted, the 8mm and the 10mm sizes that are popular. And they wanted, like, way too much for them. They're used, they're surplus, and they're not exactly what I want, and was I going to get them? No, you just get on press one of those buy now buttons on the internet and get brand new ones for, you know, like, again, less than half.
Sure.
So, I'm sitting here now looking at a computer that's in good working condition now just because of those capacitors.
That's good to know, Because if that's all it is, you can rescue a computer, you know, instead of tossing it.
What this guy on Bad Caps says is that if you notice that the computer starts to become unstable and blue screen once in a while or freeze up once in a while or during an install it craps out, you know, kind of, well, you might want to start inspecting those caps. It's a good sign that that's what it is, and not necessarily the memory or the hard drive or the video card or whatever.
Eric in the chat room says, the surplus store that has more of the flawed caps, the eBay dealer that has more of the flawed caps but cheaper.
Yeah. You know, I looked on eBay for various caps, and I just says, no, I want the good name brand caps, Nichicon or whatever they are. And
I want a cap with my name and call sign on it.
I wonder if they'll make them for you if you buy enough. Can you, would you want your name and call sign on something that you recapped?
But I don't know.
It seems like these caps these days don't last worth anything more than a couple of years, and the instrument or the equipment that it's in, the radio or the satellite receiver, remember the unit and receivers, and it just, they don't last. You know, the spec says 105C for 10,000 hours. Now, does that mean that's all they'll last? That's a little over a year. But that's at 105C, you can't, if you're only running them at...
Yeah, I mean, most people leave their satellite receivers plugged in and turned on all the time. So, I mean, you know, like you said, 10,000 hours is nothing.
But how about at 40 degrees C? How long at 40 degrees C rather than 105? 40 C might be or 35 C.
Wouldn't 105 C be a little hot?
One of the problems.
Hot.
We're getting worried.
212.
I was gonna say we get kind of worried when our transmitter hits about 51 degrees C. So
105 C is going to be quite a bit hotter than boiling point of water.
Yeah, 100 C. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I think something's more, you know, something's running warm when it's at, let's say, 30 degrees C. You don't even want it that warm. How hot do Pentium chips get?
Too hot.
I'm thinking...
I think around 40 or 50, don't they?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was thinking around 100 Fahrenheit, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I haven't really tracked it.
I think there's in the BIOS, there's a little thing that says...
Well, some of them do, yeah. I'd love to have one. I don't know if any of our motherboards have that capability, to be honest with you. Because if they do, we're, you know, there's software you can run that'll tell you that. I should investigate it, but I don't know if any of ours do.
Well, that was my experience for the week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm constantly running into failed capacitors in my own equipment. And I don't have nearly what you have over there. And all your studio equipment and stuff, how often do you take it apart and start inspecting the capacitors?
Very seldom. As in, never yet.
Like, maybe if you would have took down that transmitter, you could have caught it before it failed and, you know, replaced
right.
those. You probably didn't have any in stock, but you could have refurbished that power supply before it completely died.
Eric in the chat room says, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, Sprague or Sprodge?
It's pronounced Sprague, as in, don't be vague, use Sprague.
Anyway, he says they're a good name in capacitors.
They're larger. I don't think they make as many of the small ones. There used to be the vitamin Q caps and all the different caps that they made back in the 60s. I don't know. I don't see too much of that around nowadays. Are the U.S. Companies still making very many electronic components these days in America?
I don't know.
And is that maybe a problem with the military to have too much outsourcing to foreign countries that we're at war with? Or could potentially have problems with in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, Eric's like, everyone knows you. Everybody knows you should replace all your electronics every year. Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's what you do with computers. That way you get a new computer every year that's all upgraded and has the latest stuff on it. When's the new Windows come out?
I don't know, and I... Not sure if I care. I think it's this fall. You're talking about Vista, right?
I guess so, yeah. I heard it was delayed, though. And it won't be out in time for Christmas.
Aww.
Oh, I'm so upset.
Yeah.
So are you putting Linux on some of your equipment there, or what?
Well, we've experimented with both Linux and BSD on a couple of machines, you know, but nothing major. You know, we haven't really, like, changed over several of them. We've either dual booted, or if we did install it, it ended up getting reinstalled over. You know, we've kind of experimented with it a little bit.
Yeah, BSD, I've heard of it, but I've never ever played with it.
Well, there's something fairly new. I guess maybe it's 8 months or a year old now. Called PCBSD, and it is basically a bunch of people have gotten together and created a BSD for the desktop that more or less works like Windows. You install it, it kind of installs itself, but you can install programs through packages that are it's very similar to installing things under Windows, where you just download a program and click on it and it installs it and tells where everything needs to go, and it's a lot easier. I spent a little bit of time with PCBSD, and it's pretty neat.
I got a computer that has a you know, I have a spare 30 gig hard drive that, you know, and it's got a, you know, one of those removable trays in there. So I've got this, one of the trays has a 30 gig hard drive with Red Hat 9 on it. And I played with that for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Using this FMB interface, I was able to copy any of the files I wanted from a Windows machine, but I could not stream those files. They had to bring them to the local drive before they could be played.
Sure.
Hmm. Now you're talking about audio or video?
They were audio. They were just MP3 files.
I remember a problem. I never did narrow it down, nor did I really talk to someone about it. I just never got around to it. But I do remember when I was using Knoppix, it was real simple. I could click on an MP3 or a video file across the network, and it would instantly launch the proper player and play it, stream it across the network.
On the Linux machine?
Right. I mean, like, if I was on the Knoppix machine and I wanted to watch video stored on another machine in the house, I could just click on it. I had sharing set up with Samba and everything, and I could just double-click on it in their version of Explorer, if you will, and it would just launch, like, it was a video. I think I usually had it launch Xine, X-I-N-E. Or if it was audio, it launched XMMS, and it was fine. It launched it and played it. In the version of PCBSD I had, it always wanted to download the entire file first. You know, I could never get it to play it across the network. It always just wanted to, it was Conker. Whether it was video or audio, it would download it to the computer first, which was annoying as hell, and I couldn't figure out how to stop that. So that was probably one of the most annoying things I had, you know. Like, I want this to stream, not sit there and wait an hour to download video and then play it, you know.
Yeah, well, you might want to click the playlist, and you might want to have it start the playlist and not have to grab all the files. And the hard drive on the machine might not have the room for them all either. Or you don't want to take up the room for them.
Definitely.
Because you already got a copy of them on that other machine. But
if I ever get back into using that particular version or any others and it does that, I'm going to track it down. I just didn't get a chance to it. It probably was some setting.
I would like to put my own little web server on. That can't be that hard with Red Hat 9 or some other Linux, could it? To have my own little web server that I can leave online so I can have files at home that I can get to.
There's something really neat, but I would only really recommend it if you are going to make use of the extra stuff because it is somewhat bloated. I think it's called XAMP or something along that line, which includes an Apache web server, but it also includes Perl and PHP and all kinds of other things that you may or may not need. They have a light version that doesn't include quite as much. And again, I only recommend it if you're going to experiment or need all these additional features. Otherwise, just Apache by itself would, you know, work as a great web server, and they've got it for like every OS. So
that's probably all I really need, just because I do have a static copy. I should be having it in use with whatever I want, whatever photographs and things I want to put there, and not run out of space on my at the ISP. I only get 80 megs and a gig per month.
How much a month? 80?
A gig of a month and 80 megs total disk storage space.
Oh, yeah, that's not much if you're going to do anything, you know, big.
Yeah. I mean, I get about 80 or 100 megs of worth of hits per month as it is, and if I want to put some more stuff on there, that could go up pretty quickly.
Oh, it doesn't. And keep in mind, a lot of people think, "Oh, wow, you know, a simple web page ain't going to be much." But if you have a lot of graphics, or if you have a lot of separate pages, that all is going to quickly add up to that total transfer.
Well, I just want to put, you know, I kind of, I'm a little bit of a camera bug, and I want to put that stuff there, you know, and my photos end up being about a meg and a half each if I, as they come straight out of the camera, you know, and. I can of course reduce them, or I can just leave them that way and put them on in a folder and let people, or myself or whatever, be able to get to them. probably nothing anybody would normally want, except some special real good shot that I got or something. But you know, but I don't necessarily have that many contest winners in there. But documenting things that I've done or worked on or whatever, you know, that's the digital cameras of today are valuable, invaluable for that. You know, like when I was taking the motherboard out, I decided, well, how do all those wires go? Well, I'll take a picture of it. You know, so I took the box outside where I could get some good light in there and took a picture, and it clearly showed where that went without having to make a drawing or remember where all those wires went. You know, not that there's a lot of them. There were five of them, but, you know, I want to know right where they go and be able to see clearly from the photo.
The see clearly method, yeah. And a lot of... police and fire departments are carrying digital cameras with them to incidents so that they can quickly get pictures and get them back. You know, it's kind of become a common thing now.
And insurance agents and civil engineers and environmental guys and all that stuff need to have cameras for that, to document those things. I got my little fender bender a while back, and happened to have a digital camera in the car, and it got used. And I was glad I had it. Well, I guess I don't know if anything else around here, so I'll let the next guy go, I guess.
Okay.
Been on here for nearly 20 minutes.
Wow, that goes fast, don't it?
Yeah, that time does fly. How does it do that? Anyway, I need to get back to work here.
Okay, well, good luck with it, and thanks for the info on the capacitors.
Yeah.
All right, we'll catch you later, Brian. All right, I guess he's gone or going, so take care. I'm going to hang up. That was Brian in California. And talking about bad capacitors.
Yeah, and I have someone here that's very, very happy at the moment for some reason.
And that would be Daryl.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, at least he didn't get out.
That's true.
I guess you should kind of, since you're talking about him, get the whole story.
Well, it seems the other day we decided that...
What day was this? Monday? Tuesday? What?
I can't remember. Was it Monday or Tuesday?
It was one of them.
Yeah. We got into the vehicle and made our way to the...
Well, we were out doing errands first. You know, we were just out paying bills and whatever we needed to do.
Right. Wednesday. It was Wednesday, Tom.
Oh, that late. Okay.
And we decided that...
you decided.
Oh, I decided.
Daryl all of a sudden was like, we need to go to the animal shelter. Of course, I knew what that meant. We were going to just look at cats, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Of course. That's all we were going to do.
Oh, I need to do this. Bad caps, bad caps. What you going to do? What you going to do when your caps go poo? There we go. You may continue with the story. My work here is done.
Well... Anyway, we got to the Ashimal Nelter, and there was this adorable... Well, there were actually several adorable kitties, but this one in particular was very, very persistent, and he said, "Take me home." I mean, he almost said it in words to me. Please take me home. And I did.
Get closer to the mic. I can hear him.
Okay, hold on. Let's see.
Not you, him. I know.
Come here. Can you hear him? Now, don't stop purring just because I put you by the microphone. Come on. He's all tickled and happy. And rubbing me.
And so is the cat. I mean, so is Daryl. Yeah.
Yeah. There he goes.
Sure he doesn't have asthma there or something?
He is purring. Anyway.
Wind him up and let him... Wind him up!
Wind him up!
We took him home.
Well, there were several cats and some kittens. Of course, the cats and the kittens that are together, they don't let go right away. But I think you ended up getting down to two different cats.
Mm-hmm.
Cages 2 and 6. I remember the numbers.
Yes.
And they have little cards in the front of them that tell you if they were brought in by someone or if they were stray, and if they happen to know the name. In most cases, since they were stray, they didn't know the name. And approximate age and male or female and that sort of stuff. That's all on a card that's on the front of it.
This little fellow's name now.
Because if he had a name, we don't know what it was. He was a couple of years old.
That's right. And we decided that no matter what, he's rusty. Because it just seemed right. He looks like Morris, a little. You touched me with your nose.
Someone said webcam. Well, you know, maybe in a little bit I'll bring him up and I'll power up Byron's webcam here.
Yeah. But yesterday sometime... I think it was. Or maybe it was Wednesday night.
Renee says Rusty is her sister's dog's name.
Oh, he's an orange... I guess you'd call him an orange tabby. He has stripes like Morris. But he also has a tiny little bit of white under his chin. And he's not exactly what I would call a full-sized cat. He's somewhat small for his age, I think. But he is a very friendly kitty. He just wants to be cuddled. Except the other night he didn't particularly, because he disappeared. Just vanished and didn't come when you called him or anything. And then tonight...
Just a little while ago... I don't know. Now, this is where I guess you need to turn up Tom's mic or something to find out.
Yeah, I don't know where Tom went.
He could say...
Tom said he was standing in the dining room, and all of a sudden, Kitty just...
Well, the last time I saw him was when he was standing in the dining room, right where the dining room meets the kitchen. I had seen him, and then had gone upstairs or something, and I think when I came back down, I'd asked, oh, where's the cat? And you had no idea who it was, and, you know, we're checking around the house and outside, and, you know, we're kind of checking with each other every couple hours. Hey, seen the cat anywhere? And, no.
He's scurrying again.
He'd been missing, what, a day? Day and a half? I don't know. I've lost track. I guess it was last night.
One of the things
I think he was gone yesterday morning because I came in about 10 o'clock or there in the or abouts, and nobody had seen him. So,
well, I heard noises at various times, but he wouldn't come to me, and I thought, well, he's got to be here somewhere, and I believe my estimation is that he was down under that desk.
Mm-hmm. I think that's possible.
Yeah. He seems happy.
But I
at
know
the
that as the time went by, people were starting to get more and more worried that somehow he'd gotten out. But I was sure he hadn't. I couldn't imagine. He didn't seem like he was going to run out. He didn't seem like that kind of cat. Plus, we could, you know, I think we would have noticed.
I love it. Aristotle in the chat room says, wow, apparently WTND's kitchen has a portal to another dimension.
Yeah, it seemed to
I
be.
Think we got a lot of portals around here. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, it's me. How you doing?
Okay.
So, how did the John Draper interview go? Unfortunately, I couldn't hear it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Great.
You'll have to hear it on the replay, maybe.
It went quick, but it didn't go too bad.
We were with him for about an hour and a half, maybe.
That's quick. Wow. An hour sounds like a long time. I'm amazed you talked an hour.
He was really good. I mean, we enjoyed it very much. I don't know. You know, I didn't actually... I know he seemed like he liked it. He didn't... You know, he didn't seem like he was in a hurry to get to get away or anything, so...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think John always enjoys being on air. You know, he used to be a disc jockey in San Jose, California. Did he talk to you about that?
No, he didn't mention that. We'll have to bring that up next time. He did say he'll come back on some other time, so...
Yeah, he wanted our contact and IRC information, all kinds of stuff. So he may show up again. So.
Yeah, it's very cool. Did you know you were talking to him voice over IP there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did it sound? Did that come out pretty good?
Well, when we first called him, we called him with our voice over IP, which was Vonage, and the two together sounded like crap. Voice over IP to voice over IP that way just doesn't work.
I hear you.
But when we ended up having our end to be a landline, it sounded pretty good most of the time. It was
well, that's good. I just talked to him, and my landline to his line was I'll just say that it wasn't that good, unfortunately. But I'm very excited to be covering the NAB conference for you guys with John Draper reporting this.
That's going to be really something cool.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's secret just got
exciting
out.
Stuff, huh? So
yeah, it should be good.
Well, see if we can get him into the security areas.
There he is.
We got to NAB in 2003. That was the one and only time we got out there. And I hope to get back there one of these days, but it's definitely a wild show. There's an awful lot of stuff there.
You can say that again. The other thing, interesting area will be the security camera area.
Yeah.
Find the latest and greatest in security cameras. But, you know, what's really interesting is also the other show that I think is a wonderful show to go to if you're into computing is Comdex.
Ah, yes.
We got to a couple of Comdexes, and then they canceled the Chicago one.
Yeah, that's the one we used to go to was Chicago.
And then they pretty much canceled all of them, at least for a while.
Mm-hmm. Have they canceled them permanently?
We don't know. But there was a big thing about it for
I'm
a
thinking
while.
They might have. I don't remember anything about any one, you know, a Comdex recently.
Yeah.
Somebody might want to do a search.
They've gone away, haven't they? They'll come back, hopefully.
I think so.
There'll be a demand. Back in the 90s is when last time I went. I went in.
Yeah. I think our last one may have been 90 or 99 or 2000, somewhere in through there.
When that was in, it was in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I went to Vegas in, I think, 2000, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a show. It was really interesting stuff going on.
Well, the Vegas ones were always even bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they certainly are huge. What was interesting was I was interested at the time, I was talking to venture capitalists at the time about web buses. In other words, buses that would be, you know, serving our nation with Wi-Fi and a high speed in the bus so that businessmen could go to work and start their day as soon as they walked on, you know, whatever form of transportation they got onto, whether it was a bus or a train back then. And so, unfortunately, the tech bubble had just popped, though, and there wasn't a lot of people interested at the time. But I think that's coming back.
Well, we can see.
Yep, especially with now that there's more talk about mesh networks and. Mm-hmm. Some of the other stuff, I think there will be some stuff like that happening.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll tell you another thing. A friend of mine lives out in, it's a good friend of John Draper, actually. His name is Jess Meek. And he is in an area of around Sunnyvale, California, and there are bus stops where he goes to go online. He doesn't have an access to, internet, but he does have a laptop with a wireless card. So he'll go to this bus stop if he wants to surf.
That's different.
They put Wi-Fi at a bus stop? That's
no,
cool.
No, they put Wi-Fi in the city, and there are various hot spots.
So he found a spot that it was a place to sit and have Wi-Fi.
Well, it was connected to the bus line, so he was easier to get out there because he doesn't own a car.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So he would take the bus to his favorite bus stop and go surf because he would go to Craigslist. He does a lot of...
I've heard of that site, sure.
He goes to, what does he go to? He goes Craigslist for repair. He does a lot of big screen repair. And so he'll travel to various places because, you know, it's not like the big screen's coming to him.
Right.
but he'll go search Craigslist for work, actually.
Cool.
So anyway, just wanted to say something to Daryl. Daryl?
Yes.
Tomorrow, I guess, we'll be getting contact with Ashley there.
Okay.
And the only thing I wanted to say was, she didn't return an email to you by any chance?
I haven't seen it yet, but I haven't had a chance really to look at the email in the last couple of hours, so...
All right. Well, I'm just trying to make sure our man, Jerry DeBoer, who's going to be doing a report on the podcasting...
Cool.
He'll be doing through the conferences of the podcasting conference, he'll be taking notes and interviewing some people over there during the podcasting sessions there. And I'm just trying to make sure that he gets in because he's flying in tomorrow.
Okay.
So it might be one of the things that you should do perhaps is to call the number there at the where the friendly lady was.
Uh-huh.
And as for Ashley Brenner, right?
I think so. We shouldn't be doing this on the air, actually. So
okay, but I hear you. Then you can go from there, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's going to be a very interesting event. It's going to be very interesting to see what comes out of it.
Definitely.
So anyway, thanks for taking my call, and I guess I'll let somebody else get on the air.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling. Thanks for
the help.
Helping out.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And there you go.
Very nice.
Yep, he's the one that got us
in touch with
John.
At all the other people.
All these people.
All his handlers, and that was neat.
Yeah. I have a kitty here.
Yay.
He seems, for some reason or other, trying to make up for the time he wasn't being found.
Yeah.
Silly kitty, why did you even go away? If you're that interested in being cuddled.
Yep. Well, I think, you know, they have a mind of their own, and he just might have not wanted it at the time, or maybe he got confused on where he was. I don't know.
Maybe he got scared.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did, but he sure as heck disappeared.
Yep. I'm not absolutely sure if he's been eating the food, but I think he had.
Well, you said something about seeing that there was a hole in the...
That was me. Yes, yesterday... early this morning, or it was during this morning. I looked and I thought I saw either a hole where there should be some food or displacement. And I thought, well, maybe that was him. Now, we hadn't seen him all day after I saw that. So I thought, well, it could have been that maybe just someone had kicked the thing as they went in there. And that's why it looked in a different spot.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he did come out long enough to eat something and then go back. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Because obviously he was gone somewhere in the neighborhood of a day and a half. Because... nobody had seen him from about 10 a.m. yesterday morning that I know of, when I'm pretty sure he was around, but I didn't see him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just glad
he turned
up. I
think he had gone to the bathroom at some point right around then. But then that was the last anybody noticed him.
Yep. I'm just tickled to pieces that he's here.
Yes.
Because I was so scared that he'd gotten out.
Yep. Oh, I know you were. I didn't think it was likely.
Put it this way. I didn't think for sure that he was out, but the longer it was, the more I was slowly drifting into
that
spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm like, well, if he's stuck somewhere,
yep,
he's got to be able to eat and do his business. So he's either going to have to come out and do it, or if he's stuck, we're gonna smell the results of that or something,
yep.
You know, and that wasn't happening either. And I was like, you know, how long is this cat going to be able to go without eating, drinking, or doing his business, you know?
Yep.
But, you know, I'm just glad.
Well, I know that when a cat wants to be gone, they can tend to be gone for a couple of days, two, three days.
It's a new place for him. You know,
yep.
It's kind of big for him. He'll probably just want to investigate. But, you know, we didn't hear anything. It's not like you heard scratching or meowing or moving around.
Right.
Or, you know, it's weird.
And he does have a voice. I just heard him a few minutes ago crying because I wasn't paying attention to him.
Anyway, Bob, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi there, Bob.
Yeah, that was interesting listening to that John Draper. I mean, I don't really know anything about phone freaking or anything except for what you guys talk about, but it's always interesting to learn historic stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a few days I will be using Mozilla, Thunderbird, and Firefox.
That's good.
You know, I think I remember how to use those.
You think you remember what the net is for, huh?
Yeah.
That's good.
And, you know, and of course, I'm sure that'll mean I'll be, you know, probably getting another email address and abandoning the Yahoo one.
Well, as far as I know, you really wouldn't have to abandon Yahoo. I mean, you could still keep whatever email they give you, but you don't necessarily have to get rid of the one you've got.
No.
That's true. There's nothing to stop you from looking at your Yahoo account.
No, I know. I just go on their website and look at it.
Right.
But,
now, I don't know whether you can use a POP account to look at Yahoo type email.
Yes, in fact, there's a little trick that a lot of people may not know about. There's a third party program. I don't think Yahoo really cares that. Nah, I'm saying that wrong. They don't. They probably don't like that it exists. But there is a program called YPOPs, and what it does is you run it as kind of like a proxy or a local server on your computer. And it takes a lot of configuring. It's a little, it's not a simple 10-second setup. It takes a little bit of work. But what happens is you create another personality or another login off of your email program. And this program looks like you're logging into your webmail at Yahoo. But what it does is it picks up the email and transfers it as it basically sucks it down off the web page and makes it pop mail for your email program.
How do you spell that?
It's YPOPS, the letter Y, P-O-P-S. And it used to be called Yahoo Pops, but I think they wanted to kind of not get sued by the Yahoo people. Anyway, it's a program that sits in your tray, and when you configure it right, it allows you to use any email program, like Eudora, Thunderbird, dare I say it, Outlook, to check your Yahoo email.
Does that work? Would that also work with some of the other things like Hotmail and other?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay.
It's just so you can go do like a search on it.
Yeah, because I think they're at SourceForge, is I think where the program is stored. But just use a search engine and type YPOPS, run together,
okay.
The letter Y, P-O-P-S.
Oh, okay.
And once you get it set up correctly, and they do have instructions, then again, it just you can either let it sit in your tray all the time, or you can only run it when you're going to check your Yahoo mail. And by doing this, it basically puts your Yahoo mail in your email program, Eudora, Thunderbird, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Does it allow you to sync up, like you can download and sync, like if you got a bulk folder, you can sync it and...
I think it just downloads whatever's in the inbox on your Yahoo. If you have stuff filtered off into other folders or going to the bulk, I think that still stays there.
Okay. Oh, good. I don't want bulk because bulk is nothing but junk mail.
Right.
Anyway.
No, it doesn't touch that. Oh. Eric in the chat room says ypopsemail.com. So he found an email address or a web address.
Cool.
I've used this program off and on, and I think the reason why they don't like people to use it is because that's one of their pay add-ons at Yahoo Mail, is to be able to pop your email to use a email client. This gets around it.
Yeah, because they charge you.
Right. Well, this is free because what it does is it looks like you're reading the email from a web page, but it pulls it off and creates it and makes it look like proper email for a regular email program.
Oh, good. I'll just keep my Yahoo email. And
you can just use Eudora or Thunderbird or whatever. I've been using the program off and on for a couple of years. So.
Yeah, because, I'll take the Sprint broadband one, just for giggles, and if I have to use it, I'll use it. But why change email addresses? Everybody has.
And if you decide you want to, you certainly can. But the nice thing is it would, even if you decide to change it, it'll give you a transition time and also whether or not you want to keep this other service. I mean, if you tell everybody to go to this new email address and then 2 months later this thing isn't working out for you, then you've got everybody changed over to an address that's going to stop working at some point. So
I'm sure this ypopsemail.com, you download it, and you probably get it. You have to probably have a wizard and you check, uncheck, and...
Yeah, it's the difficult thing, and again, there are instructions, is telling your email program how to do it.
Because
you have to tell your email, instead of telling your email to check email directly at Yahoo, it has to go through this program. This program's acting as a proxy, basically.
So the proxy, it puts the settings in your email do
his... Well, you'll have to do that, yeah.
Oh, it tells you how to do that?
Yeah, they've got instructions, yep.
Oh, okay. Wow. Man, that's pretty neat. And I can use, you know, like if I wanted to send somebody a zip file, I can do that. If I wanted to just send, you know... Because sometimes when you send attachments, put it on a web-based email, it takes it a while to upload it to the web.
Well, with your high speed, that'll be cut down. Now, it may still be slow at times, depending on the servers, how fast the server is responding. But you certainly will notice a much better increase when you're uploading or downloading attachments. It'll be much better.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I was reading some stuff. The dish thing, they have to see the Sears Tower, and there were some trees, you know, like on the street side or whatever, that were higher than the house.
Okay, so it wasn't satellite, it was wireless, if they need to see the Sears Tower.
Yeah, but they call it a dish.
Okay, but it was a wireless service, and they were transmitting off the Sears Tower. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm betting it was probably that MMDS situation, you remember that used to be I'll bet you they've used a lot of spectrum space to do internet now, because there was a couple of companies in the Chicago area that were using some of that spectrum for MMDS. And that was definitely being, at least a lot of it was coming off the Sears Tower.
Wow. Yeah, because this is Sprint, you know, and the guy was from Sprint. He pulled up in a little...
Well, no, it's possible, too, that they just put up their own... Ow, kitty, that hurt.
They put up their own what?
What's that?
They put up their own what?
They put up their own... transmitting, you know, their own facilities there with using whatever frequencies they have assigned to them, probably.
Yeah. But yeah, this guy, he pulled up in a little cargo van and dug out a ladder, brought it up and stuck it upside the back of the house, and he climbed up, and I don't know if he has probably has some little gizzy that can do line of sight or whatever.
He may have even had a dish pointed and tried to point it at the Sears Tower and wasn't getting any signal to speak of.
Yeah. And so I was comparing, you know, just for giggles, I was comparing, and the air card is actually like faster than this dish or whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so.
Well, Chicago should have fairly, you know, fairly high speed access, because obviously it's a pretty good sized town.
Oh yeah, and I looked at the coverage maps, and the city and inner ring suburbs are well covered with this.
Good.
This air card thing. And
that's so good.
And you know, I got a, you know, I'm not going to say the number, but I got a good deal on it, and so.
Good.
You know, and they'll send it to me, and I'll have it, you know, I'm guessing in a few days.
Yes.
And it'll come with, you know, the card and probably instructions on how to put the card in. And I'm sure I'll definitely have to have software to...
Well, the interesting thing to me is that the card looks just like a Wi-Fi card. I mean, I know it isn't, but I would think that... you know, if you had, if you were to have, use a typical Wi-Fi card in whatever system you had, and Wi-Fi was available at any given point, you could use that. That would be my guess. Of course, it probably has its own software to operate that particular system.
Yeah, and I've got the adapter to slide it into.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, because you have to have software for it to configure and put all this stuff on to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that'll be pretty cool. And yeah, you know, I mean, then I can listen to you guys in stereo, and
yeah,
and you know, and I've got my 100-watt speakers. They're, you know, I don't have a surround card, but it's one of those AGP. Are those AGP?
Well, the only thing AGP sounds to me is like video. I don't know.
Well, this is a sound card, I think.
Well, wait a minute. AGP, that's a type of slot, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I don't know much about, you know, I mean, do you know what the model is, or?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, because I was looking at down the road getting a surround 5.1 card eventually.
By the way, Eric in the chat room says, air card sounds like EBDO.
Yeah.
It must be the Sprint EBDO service or whatever.
Yeah, and they had, you know, I sent you guys the link, but man, they had some tremendous deals on them.
Well, that's good, yeah.
Compared to, I mean, you know, well, you guys have the link still, I'm sure, and you can look at it. But I was impressed, and I had the cashola, and I thought, now or never, and now is now to do it. Get it and add it, because I've got a, you know, two lines on my service contract, so one of them will be a data thing. So I'm looking forward to it. So, well, I'm going to go back to listening.
Okay, well, thanks. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
You bet.
All right, catch you later. Mr. Bob from Chicago. Soon to be a owner of the Sprint Air Card or EBDO or whatever it's called this week. So.
Yep.
So you'll have that in time to time.
You sure will. It will happen every so often. You just never know when. Like, maybe you do know when, like when you buy it or something. Yeah, that's it. I should probably turn this volume down because I'm hearing feedback every so often.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it. At first I thought it was me. I turned my mic down and I still heard a little bit of it.
No, I think it's this thing here. I'm not sure why it's doing that right now, but it definitely is making feedback every so often. So we probably don't want that. I can't believe it's like almost 11 o'clock. Who's ever calling that number? Use the other line.
Well,
I guess you can do, you can answer that if you want to.
But then if there's another call on the other line, I won't be able to.
Because that's a possibility. Anyway, you're listening to Tech This. I sure enjoyed this show tonight. That was a lot of fun.
Not too bad. George, you're on the air.
Hi, George.
Hi there. I'm curious about something. How do I sound about now? Normal or about the same?
Well, not too bad.
The reason why I asked that, you mentioned earlier that a phone call over VoIP to VoIP doesn't sound proper. I just installed this week a new VoIP service called Sunrocket, and I'm calling over it now.
Okay, I've heard of them.
I'm just curious, since I'm calling you on your VoIP line, how do I sound? Is it?
Well, most of the time it's not bad. I have heard a couple little breakups already, but it's still nowhere near as bad as when we had John on earlier.
And also, I'm using the same line to stream your show off the same DSL connection.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's taken away from it or not, but I'm just curious as this stuff. I'm very amazed by this. It has even, I don't know about call waiting, but it has voicemail on it. And
I wouldn't be surprised if it had the whole suite of that stuff. Most of those VoIP things do.
And you pick up the phone, it sounds like a real dial tone, or even has a stutter tone if you have a voicemail waiting.
Oh, yeah.
And even the light on the modem, the deck that they give you, it flashes if you have a call, if you have a voicemail. I'm just totally amazed at some of the things we're coming out with these days. But I'm just curious as to, I will hear myself back on the air, and it sounds pretty good. Wow, okay, just
it seems to be working.
Yep,
wow,
working fine.
Amazing. All right.
Thanks a lot.
That's all. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's no real problem with it. It does seem to be working.
And keep in mind that it's a bandwidth thing. I mean, maybe he had bandwidth issues in his house. Other things were using his. Or I just don't know. Who knows who it was? And remember, you've got bandwidth. You got to consider bandwidth in both directions. You know, if your upload is crap, you might sound bad to them. But if your download's really good, they might sound great to you.
That's true. And next time we try to
to talk to John. Maybe we should try to set up ahead of time and do a, you know, try to do a good audio quality version. Hook up the software that he was using and see how that sounds. Because he says it's better than Skype.
Yeah, I do want to try it. There were some people in the chat room that were like, "I don't want to touch that." You know, they're kind of afraid of other
issues.
Yeah, just other things dealing with some of these other VoIP providers and what may be going on behind the scenes and stuff. I certainly want to give it a try though, just to see what the audio quality does sound like. Because when Skype is working great, when both computers are fast enough, when the bandwidth is great, I mean that is just darn good sound quality.
Yep. Certainly can be.
Yep.
Anyway, I guess, let's see here. We've got 55 after. So we have another hour to fill. To fill. I could fill it with cat stories, but I don't have very many because he was busy. He was missing most of the time that I would have any knowledge of him. Sad. Oh well. Anyway, let me think. I had some email type articles. And I'm going to make Blair all ready to mark this and put it in his opening because I don't have anything to do. I'd actually have to talk while I'm trying to find something, and you know how that is. I don't do that very well, and it shows that I don't do that very well. So,
what are you saying? We don't do that here.
We don't do that here. That's right. So there you go. I could read the long list of things that somebody wants me to make them copies of. That would be interesting. Let's see.
Yeah, I guess there's a argument, at, I guess, between NPR and its union of engineers or technicians or whatever.
Hmm.
They've been trying to push the workload onto members of AFTA, which is a different union, that apparently neither of the two unions are particularly happy about what NPR is doing, from the sounds of things.
Well, that's not good. We don't want that. We don't want them to be arguing. They're supposed to be nice to each other.
That's right.
That'll never happen, but that's what they want. So,
we got questions, more cat questions. I guess we never, I don't know. So is it short? Is it a short haired cat? I believe it was.
It would be considered a short haired cat.
Compared to that other one that was a similar color, the number six or whatever, that one was a lot longer haired. Six was over the one you got. And she says, and any white or just all orange? I think you said there was a little, wasn't there?
There's a little tiny bit of white under his chin.
Other than that, it's pretty much all orange. Yellow.
He doesn't even have white feet. Usually they you know, if they're going to have white, in some places they'll have white feet, but he doesn't.
Nope.
Poor Blair had his finger on the button. He thought of Mark. That was coming, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Poor Blair.
Yeah.
You'll have that from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, let's see. Any other questions for the?
Uh, If there is, I'm not seeing them. Eric says, it looks like neither Verizon or Sprint have broadband EVDO service in Macomb. Yeah, as far as we know, that's right. Now, they have low band, or, you know.
It's still a little faster than dial-up, but it's not...
Yeah, I don't remember what the speeds were. Was it like 60, maybe, or 90 or something? I don't remember the exact rates.
I know we got a brochure, but it was basically covering...